All right, you ready? You can turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to know how many of y'all went mad this week? Anybody go mad? Mad, M-A-D. Yeah, go make a difference. Because remember, Daniel 11:32 said, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. And in the King James, it talks about doing great exploits and stuff. So, you know, it is amazing that God has given us the opportunity because he's placed his spirit within us that we can go make a difference. We can go do good. We can be good. We can do godly, and we can make a difference wherever we go. And then we've learn that through all of this, we can think differently. We can think out of the box, out of our natural understanding, and do great exploits for God. You know, I just wonder how many times we limit God because we try and figure out what he's doing through our understanding. And we don't need to do that. We need to trust him. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And, you know, this has been in with all the scriptures that we've been sharing, but I want to put it all into a context, personal context of somebody in the Bible that we'll see. And he's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and his name is David. And David did some great things. He did some not great things, but he was a man after God's heart. And I want to go through this. We're basically going to go through almost all of chapter 17. I'm going to have to read it. I'll comment on it, but then we'll come back and I want to highlight a particular set of scriptures in here. But I want to go through it first and then give us some background as to who David was. And we'll go through this. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 says, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between these two places in this other place. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Now, I don't want you to get too excited right now. They're not really fighting. Even though it says it, they're not really fighting. They're just mounting up. One's on one side of the mountain, one's on the other side of the mountain. There's a valley in between, and nobody's coming. All right, so, but we act like there's a war going on and a fight going on, but so far there isn't. But here, listen to this in verse 4. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion. Everybody say a champion. Named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So that means he was about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. So nobody in here compares to him. He's a big boy. Listen to this. He had a helmet of bronze on his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And I forgot to write down how much that weighs in pounds, but I think it was like close to 126 pounds. That's just what's on his body. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin bronze slung between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. That's 15 pounds. Just the head of it. That's a big boy. Verse 8. He stood up and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw up for battle. Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Isn't that awesome? You got the Philistines on one side, Israel on the other side, a valley in between, and Goliath keeps tormenting them and taunting them. And every time he speaks, they're dismayed and they're greatly afraid. And so needless to say, nobody's running to battle. But they got their position. Verse 12. Now David was born the son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem of Judah named Jesse. Why didn't you just say that to begin with? I don't know. Who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to battle, and then they named them. Verse 14, David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, everybody say 40 days. The Philistines came forward and took his stand morning and evening. So David's the youngest, and he's tending his father's sheep in the wilderness. But he's going back and forth. Now, this has taken place for 40 days already. So that's why I want to tell you, they're not at war. They're just like playing chicken with one another right now. Both on each side, valley in between. But David hears all this. David's the youngest. His 3 older brothers are with Saul, ready to fight, but nobody's fighting. Verse 17. And Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. Verse 19, now Saul and they said, and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. They weren't really, okay? Verse 20, and David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard them. Everybody say, and David heard them. Now he's been saying this every day for 40 days at least. But it says, and David heard him. Verse 24. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. So do you think there's much of a battle going on? No. But this giant looks big, he acts big, he sounds big, he talks big, and so they're afraid. Verse 25 says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the men who stood by, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And that's a question. David's asking this question because he just heard what's going to happen to the person who kills this Philistine, who kills this giant. And so he heard what he said. Now he's thinking about what Saul has promised. Verse 27, "And the people answered him in the same way, 'So shall it be done to the man who kills him.'" Verse 28, "Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, 'Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your assumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Was it not but a word?' And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before." In other words, David turned to make sure that he had heard what was going to happen for the person who killed the Philistine, the giant. And it was answered to him again. But I want to call your attention to this. It says, now all of a sudden, his oldest brother is upset with him. And he says, "With whom did you leave those few sheep?" You see, David was the youngest of all the brothers, and so because of that, he was low man on the totem pole, and because of that, he was the shepherd of the family. He's the one who had to take care of the sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but taking care of sheep is not easy. They stink, they're dumb, they're lazy, they want everything done for them, and he's the shepherd of them, and he's been doing this for quite some time, and now when he comes back, and remember, he's coming back at the request of his father anyways to give them food and stuff and to make sure that they're all right so he can report. But now his brother's angry, and now it's just a few sheep. Now, David was probably getting a little mad because he's thinking, a few sheep? There's a little more than a few sheep out there. I don't know how many there were, but I know there was more than a few because his brother was in anger when he said all this, so you know he wasn't right. Verse 31, "When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him." And so somebody was hearing David ask these questions and went back to Saul and said, "Hey, there's somebody wanting to know what you're going to do for the person who kills Goliath." So he sends for him. Verse 32, "And David said to Saul," because he was sent, Saul sent for him. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Now, what would you call that? I'd call that faith. Amen. David is in the presence of King Saul, and he says, "Hey, King, you don't have to worry about this guy. Basically, he's saying, I'm going to take care of him. No, your hearts don't have to fail. I'll handle this. He's nothing." But he's speaking faith. And then this is what Saul says to him. Verse 33, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able. You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth." Everybody say a youth. "And he has been a man of war from his youth." So let's pause here for a minute and just kind of survey this. Saul and the army have looked for 40 days at Goliath in the natural. When they get up every morning and before they go to bed every evening, what they see is the Philistines on the other side and Goliath coming out and standing before them and taunting them and defying their God, and they are afraid to do anything about it. They feel incapable of doing anything about it because every time they look at Goliath, they see with their logic, with their own understanding, with what they perceive, They see in the natural. And when they see in the natural, they say, we don't even have a chance. There's no sense in even trying to go fight this guy because he's going to kill us. So they're trying to basically stay alive by not going to battle with them. You stay on your side, we'll stay on our side, and we'll keep the valley in between us. That's what they were thinking. They thought there's no way we have a chance of beating this guy. And I just want to encourage you that we all face obstacles in our lives that are too great for us to handle. It's too big for us to handle. And we keep staring at them in our natural understanding, with our natural eyes, with our natural thoughts. And we keep wondering, how are we going to do this? And the more we look at them with our own understanding, with our own logic, we keep saying to ourselves, there's no way I can win. There's no way I can do this. There's no way I can get over this battle. And so what do? We stay in awe. But we stay in awe of our opposition, of our giant that is before us. We don't stay in awe of God. I'll let you in on a secret if you haven't figured this out. And if you haven't figured it out, keep living and you'll figure it out. We all have to have giants in our lives to exercise faith. If we don't have something bigger than us, something greater than us that we are facing, then we do not have to have faith. We do not have to exercise our faith. The only time that we have to exercise our faith is when we have to do something that is greater than us. And God will allow giants to come into our lives because he wants us to be a giant slayer, but the choice is ours. We can stand in awe of the giant, or we can stand in awe of God and let him kill the giant that is before us. But every one of us, if we are going to be used by God, if you think you're going to be somebody for God, then God is not going to place one giant before you. He's going to place several giants before you, and he's waiting for you to kill him. Isn't that awesome? You know, and here we read this story, and we're like, oh, I want to be like David. I want to be a giant slayer. And then God brings us a giant. We're like, oh, what's that giant doing? And we get all scared and petrified, and we think, oh, he's so big. Whatever your mountain is, it's all right. God's bigger than your mountain. God's bigger than Goliath. All right, verse 34. Sorry. So remember, Saul tells David, you are not able. Here's David's response. But David said to Saul, verse 34, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. In other words, he's saying to him, David, I know you think you're bad, but, and I know you've killed some lions and some bears, but I just got you to, you're facing Goliath. Go, and the Lord be with you. We'll have a nice funeral for you. Skip down to verse 40. Because what we're skipping is Saul gave him some different armor to put on. It was too big for David because David's a small guy. David's a little guy. He's handsome, but he's little. And so the armor doesn't fit. He can't use it. So he takes it off and he says, I'm just going with what I know. So verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Now, 5 smooth stones, and he put it in his shepherd's pouch. Okay? Why? Because he's a shepherd. Okay? He's going to kill Goliath with what he's used to. Okay? And it seems to me like we always want to be like somebody else. Why can't we just be who God created you to be? If you're a shepherd, then be a good shepherd. If you're whatever you do, be good at it. Become skilled in it. But don't sit there and try and be like everybody else. Verse 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And so you have Goliath, who's big, and then you have his shield bearer who's going before him. So he's got double protection. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. In other words, he was cute. He wasn't a warrior. He was cute. He didn't look like a threat to Goliath. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, See, David speak in faith. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines in this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Isn't that awesome? That's faith speaking. Verse 48. Now get this. When the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran away. David hauled butt. No, listen. David ran quickly toward. Isn't that awesome? David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. It's amazing how many times I see people when they in struggle, they run from God rather than running to God. And David is running with God, and he's facing that giant, and he's going to deal with it. And I just want to encourage you, if you're going to start running, run with God. Go ahead and run towards the battle line, because the sooner you get it over with, the sooner you can rejoice. So David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine, verse 49. And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into the forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground, and he died. Now, can I remind you about something? That stone had to hit just perfect. And if you recall, Goliath had a bronze helmet on his head. Now, I don't know how much of his head it covered, but I'm telling you one thing, there wasn't probably much room for David to hit him in his head and kill him, and yet that stone found its way there. Whoo! It's God good. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The battle began. The battle's over. Isn't that awesome? Now, before I get into the main point here, who is David anyways? Who is this David that did all of this, who killed Goliath, the giant? We started in verse 17. You find David in chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the first place that we find him is Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king of Israel because he had rejected Saul. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10, we read this. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." Y'all get that? Samuel comes to Jesse and says, "Jesse, one of your sons is going to be king. I'm here to anoint him. Parade your sons before me." He starts that, gets through all seven of them. The Lord rejects all of those. Samuel's perplexed and he's like, "Jesse, what's up, man? Are all your sons here?" Now, I don't have time to think about what Jesse was thinking when all this was taking place, but surely he knew David was out tending sheep, didn't he? Surely he hadn't forgot about David. "Are all your sons here?" So he has to confess that, "Well, you know, I got one more, but he's tending sheep, you know. I mean, like, he's not going to be king. And he's the shortest of all of them. He's probably not even taller than me right now. And you think he's going to be king? Don't even waste your time, Samuel." Samuel says, "We'll wait. Go send for him." And continuing in verse 11, "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes.' And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome." Now they say it like that, but this is what they're really saying. He was cute. David was cute. In other words, he hadn't grown up yet. He had that little baby face still, those little blue eyes. A lot of hair, just kind of flowed. "And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Okay, so Samuel leaves. You know what David does? David goes back to tending sheep. He's anointed king. And he goes back to tend sheep. Now, let me see if I have it. Yeah. In 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 17, Saul would get a evil spirit come upon him, and they're going through this in the discussion of chapter 16. If somebody could play skillfully the lyre, then the evil spirit would leave Saul. And so they're looking for somebody like that. And here's what happens. Verse 17, 1 Samuel 16, 17. "So Saul said to his servants, 'Provide for me a man who plays well and bring him to me.' One of the young men answered, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing, a man of valor.'" Isn't that awesome? "A man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." And so Saul sends for him. David comes, and David plays the lyre and every time that Saul is troubled, and he's set free. Now, this is taking place, but there's some time that takes place between chapter 16 and chapter 17. I don't know how much time, but there is. Because when David goes in and approaches Saul, you know, so he can go kill Goliath, Saul doesn't even know who he is. Okay? So he's forgot about David coming in. But what I want to turn our attention to is back to verse 34. Don't put it up yet, but we kind of glance over things. We read things and we just, you know, we think that's great. And this message came about because I was thinking about this. I'd read this, and then I'm thinking, and I'm just thinking, okay, David was great. And the Lord just kind of stopped me. And he said, no, he's more than great. And so I went back and I was rereading, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit speak to me. And this is what he started to speak to me. David's faithfulness to God and David's faithfulness to his father and to his father's sheep while he was in the wilderness gave him the ability to kill Goliath. David was faithful to God. He was faithful to his father and to his father's sheep. He tended them probably better than any other shepherd tended the sheep. And because of that, David set himself up to be a giant killer. And so, we all declare that we want to be a giant killer. Here's what it's going to take. Let's read this again. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 34. Because Saul in verse 33 said, you are not able. This is David's response. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. Verse 37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And see, we read that and we think, oh, that's great. Can I ask you something? What would you do if you were faced with a lion or a bear? We read that and we think, oh, that's great. Can I tell you something? If a lion or a bear showed up in my backyard, I'd stay on the porch. I mean, like my deck, not the bottom porch. I'd make sure all the doors were locked. I'd make sure all the windows were tight. And if they didn't have sticks in them, I'd make sure I'd found some sticks to put in the doors and the windows to make sure that the lion and the bear didn't get in my way. Now, David doesn't even have that ability. He's out in the wilderness. He's tending sheep. And he says they would come. And now, the rest of this is just my imagination. So, you're not, well, if you don't like it, get your own imagination. I tried to find this out. In verse 36, it says lions and bears, plural. Most of the other translations don't have it as plural, but I think it was plural, and here's the reason why. I think the first times that David had a lion and a bear come and get the little lambs and take them in their mouth and go away, David got upset. And David would just think about it all day long. That lion and that bear, they came and they took a sheep, and I don't like it. I'm not going to stand for it. And I think he began to pray and ask the Lord, God, what am I going to do when they come again? And so they come again, and they do the same thing. They take that little lamb in their mouth, and they start going away. And I think David said, God, can I go after them? And God says, yes, you can. Now, if I'm David, I'm thinking, I don't think I heard right. Do you really want me to go after them? Should I really begin to chase them down? I'm just putting this out there. So after the second one comes and gets him, then David's thinking, should I go after him? And then he's thinking, well, if I go after him, what's going to happen to me? You know, I may save that sheep, but then I might get eaten or whatever. So do you think the first time that he went to run after them, he was like this? That means his hand wasn't shaking. He wasn't nervous, for those of you who can't see yet. I'm sure David was shaking in his boots when he took off after that first lion and the first bear. But then he realized something. God was with him. He succeeded. He caught him. He got the lamb back. And he says in that, he says, I got him, and then if they, and I struck him down, and if they rose up against me, I grabbed him by the beard and I killed him. Now that's some guts. I don't know anybody in here would do that. I mean, this is amazing, and we just read it and we act like, oh, like we kill a lion and a bear every day. Like, David, are we supposed to be impressed that you did that? We ought to be. And then I think David, he became skillful, obviously, with his slingshot. And so I think this is what happened. He said, Lord, I appreciate the fact that I can go kill him. I got to chase after him. But, you know, how about the next time that they come, I just shoot them with the slingshot. I'll be ready. I'll have some stones in my pocket, and I'll be ready so that when they come, I'll just stay right here, and I'll just kill them with the slingshot. And so I think that's what happened. David said, there's no sense in me chasing them. I got a slingshot here. We'll just play a little game. And then he would start shooting at them, and they would just pop dead. And then this is what I think happened. David started liking this game. And so he started praying. He's like, Lord, let's get another one. Bring me another lion. And so the Lord would bring another lion. David would knock it out. Then David would say, you know, Lord, he said that was good, but let's do the bear now. And so the Lord would bring him a bear and let him try and get one of the sheep, and David would kill him. And so I believe David became so skillful in killing the lions and the bears that Goliath was nothing to him. But David was faithful in the little things. He was in the wilderness with a few sheep, according to his brother. Don't always listen to your older brothers, unless they're telling the truth. But, you know, I just imagine that this is how it came about with them. So David became skilled, and he's realizing, this isn't hard. How many lions and how many bears are we willing to kill so that we can get to the giants? Here's where you find your lions and your bears. You find your lions and your bears in the normal day of life. You find them at your job. You find them with your work. When you go to work, God's going to put a lion and a bear there. And you have to become skilled at taking care of them. Now, they don't look like lions and bears. They look like people. You know, if you're in school, it could be your classmates. And, you know, it's the bully. You know, and they keep taunting you and they keep saying things about you. And you have to learn how to win that battle. Oh, I'm not going to hang around her. She's too good. She's goody two-shoes. You know, because they found out that you're a Christian, you go to church, and you're trying to live right. well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to mess with them. Or they'll start saying other things about you. Start talking about how ugly you are. I ain't going by them. Nobody wants to be by them. They're just ugly. Okay. Well, if you're ugly, you're ugly. If you're a guy, don't do this. But if you're a girl, put some makeup on maybe. I don't know. But there's all kind of things that happen that they're little lions and they're little bears, and we have to learn how to deal with them. Because if we don't learn how to deal with them, when the giant comes, we're not going to be able to know how to kill him. David became skilled in knowing how to kill the lion and the bear. And so, obviously, his brothers and the army of Israel, they didn't have this understanding. They didn't know God. You know, I shared this with my wife. She's not here today. But I shared this with her when I got this revelation, and I started having an imagination. I think David and God did this a few times. David said, God, bring me a lion and a bear. And so they came from different directions. And they came and they got to the flock. Okay, so let's just say they're right out there. And David became so skillful, but he also knew that it was really God working in him. That when the lion and the bear came, David got his stone out, got it set in the sling, and he said, okay, God, I'm going to make this hard for you. And so the lion and the bear are out there, and so David goes like this, and he turns around, and he pulls back, and he shoots it, and it goes this way, and then David turns back around waiting for it to hit the lion and the bear. And then lo and behold, it does. He shoots it that way, but he knows God's on his side, and God's going to come and kill that lion. And he does. And so then David says, okay, I'm going to make it a little bit harder. And so he turns again and shoots it again to get the bear. I'm telling you, I believe that David had so much confidence in God because they learned to be skillful together. David became skillful in the sling and the stone, but then he became more skillful with him and God using the stone together. So I believe when I read this story about Goliath and stuff now, and I see how all this transpired, and I never realized this until I went back and was reading it. Goliath had a bronze helmet on. There was very little room for error for him to die. And yet he knew that all he had to do was get that stone out, shoot it, and that's all he had to do. Because it says that while David was running towards him, he reached into his shepherd pocket, pulled out the stone, and shot. Now, how can you, I mean, that's awful skillful to be running and shooting at the same time and hitting him right where it counted. But I believe that he did that because he did it with God when he was killing the lion and the bears. And he said, God, we've done it with the lion and the bear. Let's take down that giant. So they took down a giant. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You can stand to your feet. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't sell yourself short on what you and God can do. You can make a difference. Become skillful in whatever God wants you to do. If you're an artist, become the best artist. If you're a musician, become the best musician. If you're a singer, become the best singer you can be. Ask God to anoint it. Don't just, and if he's caused you to do any of those or whatever he's caused you to do, do it with the anointing of God. Because when you do it with the anointing of God, God can use that. And God will use that. And he'll teach you how to kill the lion and the bear so that when the giant comes, they're nothing. His brothers, the rest of the army, were all scared. They shuddered at the voice of Goliath the giant. And David stood in peace at the voice of God saying, come on, God, let's kill him. You want to kill a giant openly? Kill the lion and the bear quietly when nobody else is looking. when you think that you have a mundane job and you think that you're at a place and nobody sees you and nobody cares about you, nobody's given you any recognition or accolades, who cares? Who cares what the world gives you and what it doesn't give you? Be willing to be faithful to God and kill the lion and the bear when nobody's looking, but it's just you and God. And then when the giant comes, God's full glory will be on display. Everybody will recognize it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. Thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you for your example of David and how he became skillful. He became faithful to you, to his father, to the sheep. He took his job seriously. He was anointed during all of that. And his anointing overflowed with his ability to kill the giant. Father, I pray that we don't get scared when the giants come our way, because we know that with you, we've already dealt with the little things. We've already dealt with the lions and the bears. Father, help us to be faithful to you. And let us watch you be so faithful to us. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, go mad again. Equipped. Go kill some lions and bears.